This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Since 1988, Whitetail Institute has been perfecting annual and perennial seed products specifically for hunters who plant food plots. Their seeds have been engineered to be palatable, high in protein, and extremely attractive to deer. Whether you live in the Deep South or Midwest farm country, they have products that will help you grow your best food plot yet. For more information about their seeds and their blends, visit whitetailinstitute.com. Enter the discount code SE15 for 15% off.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, Banshee flying, Space Mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what is the whole network galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds. For whatever you love, infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Man Therapy Podcast. My name is Dan Johnson, and our other host on this show, Kyle Vatrebeck. Kyle, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm doing pretty well overall. All things considered, I'm doing well.
Have you been outside this morning?
Yeah, a little bit to take my kids to the bus. It was lovely.
Yep. Yeah. So I got on the golf cart after my youngest got on the bus, and then I went on a cruise around our town. And dude, it is gorgeous outside right now.
Yeah.
Every day needs to be like this.
Oh, dude, I totally agree. It's not going to get too hot today. Should be sunny. Yep. Yeah. I've been loving these days. I really like, I quit my job at the university to open my own private practice. And a big part of that was because I wanted to be in control of my own schedule.
Yep.
And I didn't like leaving in the morning sometimes before my kids even got out of bed, and I didn't like getting home at night, like often after my whole family had already eaten dinner without me. And now being in private practice for the past 2.5 years, I'm there. I help get them ready for school. I go out to the bus with them and give them hugs and kisses before they get on the bus and send them off like that. Not all the time, but a lot of the time I'm like there when they get home from school and get to like see that energy and be a part of all that. It's really nice. I love it. I really look forward to the mornings going out there and screwing off at the bus stop for a while and joking around with them before the bus picks them up.
Yeah. I'm glad I get that opportunity as well. You know, I work from home as well, but I can remember a time where I was leaving the house before they would wake up most days. Mm-hmm. And then I was home after they got off the bus. Right. And that sucked. Like, yeah. I've been spoiled, right? I mean, I now work at a job that I've kind of created, and I've done all this, you know, like building it to where I am today. But at the same time, like, I cannot envision what I would feel like if I was forced to go back to that.
I've thought about that.
Like, I don't know. Like, I would struggle, I think. But at the same time, whatever it takes to, you know, like, to get to the fam, like, to make sure the family's taken care of, I get it. But I feel like I think about that, and then I go, okay, I could be sad about it, but I'm actually really fortunate that I have the ability to set my own hours. Mm-hmm. Now, yesterday was crazy because I worked from like 7:30 till 6:30 straight.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah. There's, you know, there's pluses and minuses of being self-employed, I guess. So.
Oh yeah. No, that's very true. I just think overall it's way better. Things are way better now than they were when I was working for someone else. I get so much more of the things that are really meaningful to me. Cause I'm not talking about like, oh, I like sleeping in cause it's like fun and leisurely for me. No, it's like, I like getting up so that I can spend some time with my kids in the morning, because I really feel before I felt like I barely saw them. You know, if I get home from work at 6, if I get off around 5, or sometimes it's like there's a lot going on, so I'd get off work at 5:15, 5:30. If there's like bad stuff going on at work with like, you know, a lot of risk issues or something with the client, you know, maybe I'd get off at 6:30, 7. But let's say I get off at 5 and takes me 45 minutes to get home, and they've already probably already eaten by that point. And if they're going to be in bed around 8 or 8:30, dude, that is not much time. It's like a few hours a day with your kids. Like, ouch.
Yep.
Not good.
Yep. Yep.
Not cool. I'm not okay with it.
But then my wife starts a project. And then yesterday, because she took the day off, because yesterday was my youngest son's birthday.
Yeah. Happy birthday to them.
So she took the day off. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to. So she starts this little project. Mm-hmm. And of course, she, hey, can you get this for me? Can you do this for me? Can you help me with this part? Can you help me with this part? And then it becomes my project.
That's
too.
Right.
Like, so I was on a ladder. Okay. Can you set this ladder up for me? I'm afraid of heights. Can you get on the ladder and paint this for me? Yeah. And so, so I had to drop what I was doing. And I like, what is it about, I don't know, maybe you go through this. I like whenever my wife starts something or expects me to do something, like I'm that guy's like, yes, this would have been awesome if we planned and prepped for it and we had a plan to go together. And my wife doesn't do that at all. She's like, well, today I'm painting windows.
And so, like, oh, I would have known that. Here's how I would have already been prepared.
Exactly. So luckily we had everything we needed. And then I had to get up on, you know, I had to stop doing what I was doing, stop working right in the middle of the day and start painting some windows. And then I had to work later in the day because of that. So,
right.
So I take a deep breath and I'm just like, okay.
That's right. Hey, good flexibility. At least you were being productive. And that was, you scored some points with the wife, and that's good too.
Yeah.
It pushed your work stuff back, but you were able to do it.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. All right.
That's funny. That's
I got a question for you. Example.
Let's hear it.
I was thinking about this the other day. I woke up in a really good mood, right? Oh. And I was like, Jesus, man, the sun is shining and it's beautiful out. And then, you know, just like you wake up in a good mood. And then there's days where there's the opposite, where you wake up and you're just like, you know, let me ask you, is there something you do to purposely try to get out of a bad mood and be happy?
Yes. I would say there definitely is. I try probably a few things. I try really hard to summon the feeling of happiness So I remember what it feels like. So I'll try really hard to be like, all right, what's that feel like? And then I try hard to like even find the spark of that inside and then nurture that. Yep. Often I'll think like, dude, it doesn't matter how you feel right this very second. Like, how do you want to feel? And then I guess it's probably pretty similar to fake it till you make it. But, you know, I prefer the term act as if, like act as if you're happy. Act as if you're like whatever the emotion that you want is, act as if you're that way. And often it'll end up clicking in. So I just through, you know, I'm 42 years old, through enough life experience, I know that if I just plain start acting happy, I will end up being in a better mood. So I don't have to like overthink it. I don't have to spend too much time intellectualizing. It's often just as simple as like, just start pretending like you're happy and probably within 15 minutes you will be, because when you start to behave that way, the universe starts reflecting that back to you. So if I get up out of bed and I'm all grouchy and grumbly with my family, then they're going to be like grumbly back to me. And then it's going to be like reinforcing and it's going to be shitty. But if I start in a bad mood and, you know, sometimes my wife's good at being like, hey, like, are you okay? Or you're in a bad mood. Then I'll try really hard to just like act like I'm not. And dude, within 15, 20 minutes, I'm not anymore. I'll start my big thing is, I start to play with the kids. Like I'll just try to just start playing with them. Like I could be in a grouchy mood, but I'll just like grab my son off the couch and just drag him to the floor and then just start like wrestling with him. It's a game we call Bear. He's like, can we play Bear? But even if he doesn't ask to play Bear, like I'll just start to play Bear. I'll just grab him and just drag him. And he might be like, no, don't, Dad. Don't leave me alone. And I just drag him to the floor and start wrestling with him and getting all over him. And then, you know, before you know it, like my daughter's just excited that that's happening. And I'll just crawl over like a bear and grab her by the ankle and drag her off too. And dude, I can't even help but have fun with that. You know what I mean? So yep. I just kind of tried to ignore my bad mood, and I take responsibility for it instead of just being like, yeah, fuck it, I'm in a bad mood. I get to be, I deserve to be, I feel justified. It's like, dude, I don't want to be like that. So I try really hard to basically act the opposite, unless I have a real, you know, like if my mom had cancer and she was like not doing well or something, like I would have every right to like be down. And I would take care of myself if I did. But if I just woke up grouchy because I didn't get much sleep, then I'd probably try to like play with my kids. If it's really bad, I'll just stay out of everybody's hair because I don't think everybody should have to be around me if I'm in a grumpy mood. So those are kind of the tactics that I take. How about you?
Yeah, I was thinking about this the other day. I try to separate myself from what is causing the anger or the frustration. So a lot of times I'll just go outside. Uh-huh. Right. I'm a bow hunter, so I like to shoot my bow. Because when like for archery, if you're not focused on the target, then you'll make a bad shot, right? So the cool thing about archery is you're focusing so much on all of the things necessary to pull off a good shot that all of the other things in your mind kind of go away. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I do a little bit of that. Most of the time I can go on a walk. I can go on a golf cart ride. Mm-hmm. I can play catch with my boy. Mm-hmm. My oldest son, he's down for a good game of catch anytime.
Love that. Right?
Hey, let's go play catch. Yeah. Or most of the time he's asking me, let's go play catch.
Love that.
And I'll be down for that. I do the wrestling thing too.
Yeah.
Right. There's times where if my wife is angry or frustrated, my brother taught me this one. It's called hug out the hate. Okay. And so what you're doing is essentially, my wife is in a bad mood, I'll walk over and I'll grab her, I'll hug her, and she'll get more angry as hug her.
But I
don't let go until it reaches the point of ridiculousness.
Yeah.
Okay. So mad, leave me alone. And then it's like all the energy that you use to be angry, just is like, you just kind of, All right, get back to it, you know, like, and maybe that didn't solve any problems, but sometimes what happens is you, you don't even know what you're upset about.
Yeah.
In this world. And you're like, so for me recently, I've been doing this thing where I will start to watch, whether it's kicked off by the news, or maybe sometimes it's through scrolling on social media, where I will be in a good mood, but then all of the negative things in life that are on social media and the news catch up to me. I'm just like, what the hell is going on with this news? And that, and you get pissed off for something. And you're like, well, wait a second. That has nothing to do with my life right now. Directly, right? Indirectly it might, but directly it doesn't. So why am I in a bad mood and portraying that on others?
Yep.
And so I do, like, I feel like I'm good at carrying a positive attitude and positive energy throughout the course of most days.
Yeah, I think you are too.
And then when something bad kind of happens, I go, you know what? I'm going to try to change it, right? And so I do something, I say something. Like music does it for me, right? Where I'll put on some song that I can sing or I can do a little dance to. My kids think I'm ridiculous.
Yep.
And then they're like, oh, well, what are you doing, Dad? This song sucks. I'm like, no, it doesn't. You know, like,
I should do
something, you know, stupid and then get some smiles. Right. Because it's true. Like, who pissed in your Cheerios?
Yeah. Seriously.
You know what I mean? Like that. It is crazy how energy spreads.
Yeah.
Especially with the man of the house. If the man of the house is kind of in a poopy mood, then, you know, the woman in the house is in a poopy mood. This is one thing, and I have no disrespect to anybody, but I've noticed that when a woman is in a bad mood, everybody's in a bad mood.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then it is up to the man of the house, and I'm just speaking from my experience here, you have to try to fix that.
Yeah.
That somehow becomes your responsibility. And sometimes that is either addressing it directly to the woman in the house or pulling the kids out of the situation. And just like, if you're going to be angry, you go be angry over there. I'm taking these kids and we're going to go do something stupid.
Yep.
So
we do that. My wife and I both do that for each other. If I notice she's in a bad mood, I try really hard to get the kids away from her. And if she notices that I'm in a bad mood, she'll try to get the kids away from me. One kind of overarching theme that I'm noticing here that I really like is the idea of purposefulness and responsibility. So like all of this is you recognizing that you're in a bad mood and recognizing that that's your fucking responsibility. Like your mood's your responsibility, you know, and your behaviors with your family, that's all your responsibility. And things go so much worse if you don't take responsibility for it and you just allow yourself to be a sourpuss versus if you're like, you know what? I don't need to be like this. Let me try and turn it around. And you start taking some accountability for your own emotions. And then you do something purposefully to make things better. Like what a gift you just gave yourself and your family, you know?
Yeah,
I appreciate that. I think to me, that's a sign of emotional maturity. I think people that are less emotionally mature, just like, I'm just in a bad mood, deal with it. It's like, no, how about you take accountability and responsibility for it? And why don't you do something to improve your experience on this planet so that we don't all have to suffer with you?
100%. I like that. I learned at a very young age, nobody gives a shit what kind of mood you're in because everybody's dealing with their own stuff. And so if you're pouting and you're like, yeah, well, boohoo me, like, I don't give a shit. Like if it was something major, like a loved one passed away or you got fired or something like that.
Right.
Then yes. But if the rain is falling or the dishes are stacking up in the, you know, the dishwasher or so, I don't know. You can add any example where it just doesn't, laundry isn't caught up with or whatever, like deal with it.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't understand in this world. And I think it actually is a perfect representation of some of the craziness that goes on in the world where people have become entitled in their emotional state that somebody else is the problem.
Yeah.
Right. Kyle, you're the problem why I'm having a bad day. So I'm going to have a bad day. Actually, no. That's not true. Right. Yeah. The reason you're having a bad day is because you're having a bad day. right? And you have to fix that. And you have to make the adjustments mentally to say, is it worth it or not? And I think that's the thing that a lot of people don't do a good job at, is asking themselves the question, is this negative energy that I'm putting out worth it?
Yeah.
And most of the time it's not. It's not, you know.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. So there's this concept in psychology called enmeshment. So you can be, if you're enmeshed with your thoughts and feelings, then like you think you are your thoughts and feelings. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then you can like, then there's another term, like it's called distancing or differentiation, where you can distance yourself from your emotions and you can actually observe your emotions. So the way you were talking earlier is like, you observe that you're grumpy. You observe that you're angry. You observe that you're in a bad mood, and you're like, okay, what else do I know about myself? And what else do I know about life that I can apply here to affect the situation? Okay. Yeah. That's like, that's pretty emotionally mature. But if you're enmeshed, you're just like, I am this way. This is right. This is how I have to feel. There's nothing I can do about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really good practice. The more you can practice zooming out and distancing yourself from your emotion, you can say, oh, I notice I'm feeling angry right now. I notice I'm irritable.
Right.
What can I do about that? Versus, I'm grumpy. Leave me alone.
Yep.
Big difference.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And if there's something that, like, usually the thing that gets me the worked up the most is when I have a day, and I'm talking about me now, when I'm having a day where one little thing goes wrong, then the next little thing goes wrong. Then a next, so I have this like domino effect of shit because, okay, well, I had to put out this fire. Yeah. Now, because it took me 1 hour to put that fire out, now I'm 2 hours behind in work today.
Yeah.
All right, well, another 30 minutes of a problem. Now I got to go pick my kid up from school. And those are usually the days where I'm the most frustrated because I have to work till 11 o'clock midnight at night, right? Just to get done with the day's work. And so once I'm thrown off schedule tends to be when I am the most irritated.
Yeah.
Irritated. But then at the same time, I also have to identify that in my household, nobody that lives there is the reason for that. So why am I mad at them? Why am I mad at my kid for being a kid and frustrating me because I'm annoyed with the loudness in the house and things like that?
Yep.
And I think, do you think that men handle those types of situations better or worse than women?
It's a good question. I wonder if you can generalize, because my mind goes more to like, God, it just seems to me like it boils down to the individual person. Because I know some guys that like don't handle stuff very well, and I know some women that do, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. To me, it comes down to an individual person. There might be something to a difference of the sexes in that way. I mean, you know, one thing there comes to mind is that I, in my mind, women are generally more patient with kids. And I wouldn't be surprised if that was a built-in biological mechanism that they have to be able to be more patient with kids.
Yeah.
I've certainly seen a lot of women not be. I think that to me, it depends on a lot of factors of what, if they're already overly stressed, overly stimulated. I don't know. To me, it's person by person and how much, what their capacity is at that moment, and also how much work they've done to build their own capacity.
Right. Right. anything else that you do to try to change your mood or bring yourself into a different space?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll just hug my kids.
Mm-hmm.
That helps me.
Yeah.
I'll just hug them. Sometimes I come out in the morning in a bad mood, and I'll purposefully just go straight to each of my kids and just hug them and love on them a little bit. And I just start to feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised at all if you do this as well, but humor, like when I can start getting in a bad mood when the first bad thing happens and then the second bad thing happens and it's like, all right, I'm pretty freaking annoyed. And then at some point I like to step back and just be like, ha, what are you going to do?
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
You know, I'll just be like, well, I guess it's just raining shit on Kyle today. Like,
yeah,
hey, here we go. It is what it is. And I'll just try to use humor and just laugh about the situation. Cause at some point I just accept like, all right, A went bad, then B went bad, then C went bad. And I'm just fucked. I just need to like stop. I'm like, you know what? Everything I'm touching is turning to shit today. Maybe it's best if I just stop touching things, you know, like, let me just press pause for a little bit. And so I try to laugh about it, try and joke about it.
Yeah. So that's how we handle it, right? When we're in a bad mood, that's how we handle it. Now, men of the household also have a responsibility to their families. All right. So what are some things that Kyle does in his own family to try and pull people out of bad moods?
Yeah, that's a good question. Okay. When my daughter's the easiest one by far, because with her, it's just a matter of finding something that she wants to do.
Yeah.
Or I can leave her alone and she'll pull out of it eventually. But like, I know the stuff that she likes to do and she loves to spend time. So she could be in a really bad mood. And if I can find the right little like art activity to do with her or card game or something.
Yeah.
She'll do really well. My son, if he's in a really bad mood, he needs time. He either needs time, food, or like a silly distraction. If I can get silly, and actually I think silliness works with both my kids. If I can get like really silly, and then that'll like distract him. It's like he forgot that he was mad, and he'll just like, it's like a reset button for him.
Yeah.
But otherwise, if he's in a really bad mood, he just needs time to get out of it. And odds are, I just need to like shove a bunch of food in his mouth because he's like so freaking active and he never wants to stop playing to eat. So I think, you know, 80% of the time he's just hungry. If he's in a bad mood, it's usually because he's hungry, bored, or tired. So, you know, I just act accordingly, shove food in his face, find something to do with him, or just like keep people away from him. When my wife's in a bad mood, she doesn't tend to take it out on me too bad or the kids. The best thing I can do for her is to get the kids away from her. You know, if I start, like, I'll start like cleaning and picking up, and it's really helpful to her to come home to like a clean space. It stresses her out if things are not tidy. So that's definitely a thing that I can do. But if she's already like just overstimulated and in a bad mood, I'll try really hard to get the kids away from her. That's like the main thing. Or I'll be like, why don't you go lay down? And I don't say that in a shitty way. I say in a nurturing way, like, you know, I got this. Why don't you go ahead and lay down? Or like you could go to bed early tonight. Like I can get the kids to bed. That's no problem. My wife doesn't like a lot of like me trying to fix it for her. She doesn't like, you know, a lot of like kind words. Like none of that seems to really affect her very much. I with her, I've learned she just needs time to get through it. I try not to take it personally if she's in a bad mood. If she's crabby to me, I do check her on that. Like if she snaps at me or if she's like just like grouchy to me, I don't tolerate that.
Yeah.
If she does that, I'll call her on it and be like, hey, I understand that you're in a bad mood, but please don't talk to me like that. Cause that's just the thing I refuse to deal with. Cause I don't do that to her either. If I'm in a bad mood, I don't talk poorly to her. She just needs time and space. And rest. She needs rest, man. If I can get the household to a point, my goal is to get the household to the point or her environment to a point that she can just sit down or lay down, then that's going to be really good. So if I can get the kids outside, take them to the park or just take them to play or get them involved in something else or whatever, just taking the weight off her helps a lot. That's just about the only thing that helps her is rest. The more I dig into it. How's that sound to your family?
For kids? My youngest, I'll go through my entire family. My kids, my youngest, dude, he's never in a bad mood unless it's like kid stuff, right? Like, you know, they won't let me play a game. Okay. Like the older boys won't, like, sometimes will be like, you know, like, hey, you can't play this game. You're, you know, all you do is this, you know, whatever. He'll come into the house. Well, they don't let me play. And so maybe I'll do something with him. Yeah. Right. Or depending on what it is, I'm like, if it's on my yard, I'll be like, you will include him or everybody goes.
Right.
Right. And so I'll force it upon everybody to involve him.
Yeah.
He falls down and scrapes his knee. Well, this hurts, you know. I'm like, all right, let's take a deep breath. Are you good? Good, right? Like, bring them to their center. They realize it's not as bad, and then they go.
Yeah, let the moment pass, yeah.
Yep. My oldest son, you know, he's a unique individual, and I love it.
Uh-huh.
Like, I love it about him. He carries around a lot of anxiety,
uh-huh.
right? And here's an example. This morning, he found out that he has, like, I do a lot of walking him off the edge, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, this morning, he found out, oh, my God, I only have, like, $4 in my lunch account. Okay. Mom, I got to get mom, dad. Hey, mom, I tried telling mom, dad, you got, hey guys, lunch money. And he obsesses over it.
Right.
And he obsesses over it to the point where I'm just like, all right, buddy, you got to give us time to handle it. He wants things done and fixed right now.
Oh yeah.
Right. And that doesn't happen. So I'm just like, all right. So I have to be extra detail oriented with him on how I fix a problem.
Yeah.
Right. For my youngest, I can fart or something and he'll go, and now he's in a good mood. Right. You know what I mean? Like, and then, so my oldest boy, the middle child, he's just a little, he's harder on himself. He wants to make everybody happy. He uses humor to try to be cool around others. And sometimes it means at the, what's the term I'm looking for, where he'll try to act too cool sometimes. So sometimes I have to check him to get him. Okay. All right. And then, and for the most part, he's pretty happy with, you know, he's easily turned back to the light, so to speak. Now, my daughter, we joke around with her. We call her the Dark Princess.
Mm.
Okay. And she will carry anger for a very long period of time. She will go to bed angry and she'll wake up angry. Mm. And it will be sometimes days.
Oh, no.
Until that goes off.
Yeah.
But one thing that does work with her is the hug out the hate type of things, where I'll just lay down on top of her. I'll put my thumb in her armpit.
Yeah.
And she's like, she'll get so angry with, leave me alone. And then I get her to smile. I go, I got it. You know, she's like, oh, yeah. And then she'll back off and then we'll hug and then, you know, it's good.
Yeah.
You know, but she's that type of person where I'll be like, what are you angry at? And then she'll be like, well, this and this and this. And I'm like, so nothing? Like, so you're angry at nothing? Dad, leave me alone. I need time, right? She's going to be 13 here pretty soon.
Oh, yeah.
So she's that hormonal change, if that's even a thing. Maybe we've been swindled to think that.
Yeah.
But she's going through that type of womanhood right now.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if that has anything to do with it. And then, like, my wife. I love her to death, but she tends to make a mountain out of a molehill, and I laugh. There's sometimes where she will be upset and I just am like, I'll laugh at her and I'll be like, what are you upset at? Well, this and this and this and this. I'm like, do you know how you solve that problem? Like, the dishes are dirty, right? I feel like I do a really good job at doing my fair share around the house.
Mm-hmm.
And for her, oh, the dishes are dirty. Do you know how you fix that problem? By doing the dishes, right? like then that problem goes away.
Yeah.
Right. And so there's a lot of times where I'm just like, come on, come on. You know, like, are you really mad? What are you mad at?
Yeah.
Whatever. So it's like an extended version of a little bit like my daughter. So I've learned tricks to kind of, my goal anyway, is to maybe not fix their anger issue immediately, but to pull them further away from that. And
yeah,
sometimes,
I like that.
Yeah. And sometimes that is me doing the task that requires them to do that. Or sometimes it's also me going, hey, there's literally, like, you're being mad at this? This is a very small, like, yeah, there's a couple of shoes on the floor. Let's pick the shoes up. And that problem goes away.
Yeah.
Even if you kick them down the stairs to the shoe area, that problem goes away.
Right.
Then you should be happy after that. Right? Right. Okay, good. And then I do the blackjack dealer after their shift's over. I'll go.
Yeah.
And then I'll walk away. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. I like the idea of not feeling responsible for everybody's emotions, but recognizing that there is some influence that you can utilize.
Yeah.
I think that's good. I think that's fun. Yep.
But there are times, and I do feel this is a man's responsibility at times, where if the house is out of control, like I do this sometimes when my kids are bickering and arguing a lot, where I will just, as loud as I possibly can, I'll just go, hey, and get everybody's attention. And I'm just like, we're going down a bad path here. Everybody needs to chill out and we need to start over right now.
Yeah.
Go step away from each other.
Yeah.
Get away.
Absolutely. Interrupt the pattern. Interrupt the flow.
Exactly.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Totally agree with that. You could do something similar. I mean, I'm sure what you do works, but you could also just start singing really loudly or just start doing something like super ridiculous that nobody in the house can ignore how dumb and silly and funny this is. You could even put on some song super loud and just start dancing super crazy. And I think it's really hard to stay mad when somebody does something like that.
You just realize, like, and I think I brought this up in a previous episode that we've done, but they did an interview with this woman who was in her 80s, late 80s. So she's a grandma. She might even be a great grandma. And they were talking to her about, like, like, looking back on how you raised children and how, you know, you were the woman, you know, the mother of the household, was there something that you wish you could have done different? And she just straight up was like, I used to yell at my kids. I used to scream and shout at them. I'm just like, I don't think I would have done that. Mm-hmm. Right. I think I would have just been like, are you done yet? Because when you're done, then we can move forward. Type of deal. And she said she said she felt like she wasted a lot of time yelling and screaming without any direction, and the lack of direction of her. Like, have you ever listened to a parent yell at a kid, but just yell at them and never like redirect them or tell them why what they're doing is wrong?
Yeah.
That fixes no problems.
Right. You just added yelling.
Exactly. Exactly. So I will, like, for me personally, I yell to get attention and then I do the describing of what needs to change afterwards.
Yeah.
That's something I try. Does it always work? No.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I'm guessing you do this, but it's more likely to work if you then follow through with
100%
what it takes to, like, I yell. And if I yell to intercede with my daughter, which yelling with my daughter is definitely not the best thing to do because she's very sensitive. So my daughter could be squarely in the wrong, but if I yell, then she's going to, like, her feelings are hurt and I don't want to do that to her. So it's usually best if I take a different tact with her. My son, it also isn't great, but nothing's great. when he gets really, like, off the beaten path, then his brain's pretty hijacked. And I basically yell to stand up to him. Mm-hmm. And then, but then I have to back it up. And I don't mean back it up with like more anger and fear and intimidation. I just mean like, if it's to the point where I'm yelling with him, it's like, all right, dude, now you're stuck with me until things are good again. Mm-hmm. And so then I'll just be with him until things are good again, until he's able to calm down. Because my daughter can calm herself down. My wife can calm herself down. He doesn't seem to calm himself down. And he will go around the house and like torture people. He'll just like beg my wife for things and then get really mad at her. And, you know, he'll get a little physical, or he'll pick on his sister and stuff. And so when he's doing that stuff, then I have to squarely intercede and I have to not let him do that. And I basically say like, all right, it's you and me until you've got yourself back under control. And that's not a violent threat or anything. I don't do anything violent with him. It's just, I'm not going to let you go pick on your sister anymore. And I'm not going to let you just yell at your mom anymore. Like, you don't just get to do those things now.
Yeah.
And so then it's just him and me, and we just lock in.
Yeah. You want to know something that it was almost like an experiment. They were fighting over the tablet the other day, or a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I took the tablets. I took the PS5 away from them. I took YouTube away from them. And there's nothing for them, like what they normally do. There's nothing left to do.
Yeah.
And I will tell you this. I saw a dramatic change in behavior by removing devices from. Now, do you know what that meant for me and my wife? That meant a increased pressure to, because they were like, can I play? Can we have this? There's a period of time. It's like withdrawal. It is. It's like a drug addict, right? Where they're just like, hey. And then once that passes and 2 days went by, dude, they weren't complaining about it anymore. They were outside. They were coloring pictures. They were playing Legos. Yeah. They were playing sports with their friends.
Yeah, normal.
And I feel, dude, I really do feel a lot of behavior issues that a parent could potentially be dealing with in some of their kids. They try to fix it, or they're not fixing it. They're trying to make it go away by giving them like, here's a tablet, get out of my way. And then they're just like,
Right.
Doing digital lines of drugs. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And they're in such bad moods when they're not. Mm-hmm. Like, if they're on their electronics a lot, they're in such a bad mood when they're not.
Yep.
And I think you're right. It's way better when they're not. Mm-hmm. It's just so much better. My son lost his iPad for a while. Like, he thought he lost it. And so we just kept it away from him for months. Mm-hmm. And he was way better.
Yeah.
Way, way better.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. I straight up told my kids the reason that you're losing. I took it. It's in my closet, in my bathroom, in our bedroom. Mm-hmm. I'm taking it away because of your behavior. Right. And so I told them the straight up truth about it. Why did you say that he lost it? Did you tell him that he lost his privileges, or did you like,
oh, yeah, that one, he thought he lost it. So I was like, oh, sweet. This is my opportunity to not give this back to him for a long time.
Okay.
He thought, okay, I have taken stuff away and told them why I took it away and what it would take to get it back and all of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I've done that. And that actually works really well. And they are way better when they don't have it too. But yeah, I'll say you can't have this. You're not going to get any of your electronics back for 2 days. And I'll tell them like 7 o'clock on Thursday night, you can have your stuff back. And then, you know, if it's like Tuesday at 7, I'll say 7 o'clock on Thursday night, you can have your stuff back if you've been good. And if not, then I'm not going to give it back to you then. And I'll take all their stuff and hide it. Yeah. And there's been like, if my son like refuses to take a bath at night, I'll say, okay, you don't get any electronics until you take your bath. And I don't care how long, don't take a bath for a week for all I care. But you're not going to get your electronics until you do. And I've even unplugged the power cord from the TV. So he can't just, because he'll be like, well, fine. You know, I'll be like, you know, if he thinks he's just losing his Nintendo, he's like, I'll play my iPad. If he thinks he's just losing his iPad, it's like, well, I'll just watch YouTube. It's like, if he thinks he's just using YouTube, and I'll just watch TV. It's like, no, I'm taking everything. You don't get to just keep defaulting like that. So I'll take everything and I'll say, it's just totally up to you. Whenever you do the thing that you're asked, you can have it all back. This isn't going to be a weird power struggle. It's just all on you.
Yep.
Turn it around and you can have it all back.
You want to know what's sad is when we would wait for the buses, not the younger kids, but the older kids now, 12 to high school age, when we were waiting on the buses, or I would see a group of young kids. I went to a Subway the other day to pick up a sandwich, and there was a group of girls. They weren't talking to each other. They were all on their phones, and there's four of them in a booth, and they were just sitting. And I look at that and I go, the people that you want to hang out with are literally in the same booth as you. Why aren't you talking to them? Mm-hmm. Right. And so that tells me that there is these connections to these devices that some people would argue, hey, that's how everybody communicates these days. I can understand that, but I feel strongly that cell phones and smartphones and social media, man, I want to say it's probably a social net negative.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can argue benefits, long distance relationships and communicating with grandmas through, you know, like when my kids, I tag my grandma in it and that way it pops up so she can see it. Right. Awesome. But just like what it does to the culture, where I literally the other day picked up my phone to make a social media post for my business. And I was on it for an hour and didn't even know it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and then I realized, I'm like, what in the hell am I doing?
Right.
And that's what I didn't have social media until I was 26 or 7 years old.
Right.
Somewhere right around there. And now these kids have grown up with it. And I'm sure if there was some studies that the influence on these devices, the scrolling, how close it is to their eyes and all that stuff were, I don't know. There's gotta be a negative connotation to all of that.
Oh yeah. I don't know exactly what the studies say, but no. The eyeball test to me tells me that's true.
Uh-huh.
It's really sad. You saw those girls at Subway. I've seen it. Kids having friends over, and they're not even talking to each other. They'll be at each other's house. You know what's sad is a lot of kids don't even care to go to a friend's house.
No.
Like if they have the opportunity, they wouldn't do it because they would rather just sit at their place on their phone and chat with five people at the same time rather than going to a friend's house and hanging out with one person or even hanging out with those same five people. Because if the five people that they were on the phone with were in the room, they wouldn't be talking to them.
Yep. Yep. Let me ask you a parenting question now. Mm-hmm. My daughter, this was a while ago, had a friend come over to the house. That friend brought an iPad. Okay. And then my daughter didn't have it. I didn't let my daughter play on her iPad. And at the time, I don't think she had a phone. Mm-hmm. And that girl sat on her couch downstairs on her iPad the entire time. And my daughter was like, hey, do you want to go outside and play? She's like, no. Hey, do you want to go on a golf cart ride? No. And she just sat there on her own iPad. Yeah. And so I went and I go, hey, why don't you give me that iPad and you guys can go play. And that girl was very hesitant about giving it to me. And I was very, I don't want to say rude, but I was influential, direct in it. And the parents came up, and the first thing when they came to pick her up later in the day, he goes, Ava's dad took away my iPad. So I had to play with her. And the dad was like, oh, really? Why did you do that? And I straight up said, hey, listen, she was on the couch for hours on that thing and Ava wanted to play with her. And that's the reason why she's over here in the first place, not to play. She could have played iPad at your house.
Yeah.
And the dad was like, oh, okay. And like it was acceptable for her to be on her iPad the whole time.
Right.
He was like kind of shocked that I did it. And I'm just like, I don't understand. Here's what it boils down to, Kyle. I don't understand the world we live in.
Yeah.
Currently.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really sad. I've noticed with friends coming over and stuff that it's become more of a discussion of like if I drop my kid off at a friend's house, that I might say like, hey, I don't want them playing
video games
the whole time. Yeah. Or on the iPad the whole time. Mm-hmm. Or like if somebody drops their kid off here for my daughter and my son, I might be like, I might ask the parents like, hey, like, what are you comfortable with? Or like, what are your parameters? Mm-hmm. And I want the kids to hear that conversation too, so that they can hear like, oh shit, dad said I couldn't be on the iPad the whole time. Or I'll purposefully like, I won't let my kid take the iPad to a friend's house, 'cause I already know they're going to do that. I've done really similar to what you just said, where a friend came over and they were just like ignoring my kid at my house. And they mm-hmm. it's almost like they probably weren't going to get to play their stuff at their house, so they wanted to come to our house and thought they could just do it there.
Yep.
Or whatever. Maybe they just got into what they were doing, but I've been like, all right, we're putting all the stuff down. No more electronics. You guys go out and play, and they do it. And then they end up having a ton of fun. I've also like when I feel like that's not working, I'll straight up like in a nice way, not in a rude way, but I'll tell the kid like, hey, if you don't feel like playing, that's okay. I'll take you home. Are you ready to go mm-hmm. home? And they'll be like, you know, I don't think they've ever said yes. Like they've never been like, oh yeah, cool, take me home. But I'll be like, if you're just going to sit and play that, like I'll just take you home and you can play it at home if you want to, or you can stop playing. You can stay here and play. Like, which do you decide? And they always put it down. But I would totally follow up with that. If I was like, hey, if you're just going to play on that, I'll take you home. And if they were like, yeah, I just want to play on it, I'd be like, all right, get in the car.
Yeah.
I'm gonna call your parents and tell them I'm bringing you home right now.
Yeah.
And then I would. And I'd say, yeah, they just, like, they weren't playing. They just wanted to play on their iPad and they weren't even playing with my child. So here you go.
Yep. Yep. And then the parents are surprised, like, oh, well, why are they back? I'm like, you're probably, they're addicted to screens, dude.
Yeah.
They're addicted to screens. And so, dude, that whole generation. Like, and I find myself doing that, especially someone that works from home. It's raining outside and my kids do a pretty good job of going outside and playing. But what I've noticed is so our house is kind of a hub for the neighborhood mm-hmm. and a lot of kids will be in my basement and they're all playing and then they start to bicker. Hey, you just had a turn. And I'm like, everybody outside. So they go outside, they go across the street and they do the same thing in another house.
Oh yeah.
So then I catch that and I go, I'll knock on the door. I say, Mac and Knox outside. I didn't say go play video game at someone else's house.
Right.
I said, you're done. And so I think the rest of this week, to be honest with you, is going to be a no device week.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's going to be too nice outside, dude. Go ride bikes, do kid stuff, man. Like a lot of these kids, they don't even know how to entertain themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. When I, for example here, we had this weekend is youth season here in Iowa and we went hunting and my daughter, her phone is broken. She wiped out on a bike and it fell and broke and now it's toast. And so she doesn't have a phone right now. I'm kind of debating not getting her one again.
Right.
And then my son, he's my oldest boy. We just drove 1 hour. That's it. 1 hour. And they were like, can we see your phone? Can I have your phone? Can I do this on your phone?
Oh, yeah.
Can I have your phone? I'm just like, no, dude, I've driven to Colorado when I was a kid through the most boring part of Nebraska.
Oh yeah. Which is all of Nebraska.
Yeah. And I didn't have shit except the radio my dad was listening to.
Yeah.
You want to talk about boring? Right. You learn to use your imagination. And I feel like in that generation of my children, that's in threat.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. I think learning how to cope with being bored is a skill that they're not having to learn, because it's the same in our we hop in the van and it's like, can I have your phone?
Yep.
Can I have your phone for a 10-minute drive? Can I have your phone?
Exactly.
5-minute drive. Can I have your phone?
Yep.
It's like, dude, look out the window.
Yep.
Out the window.
Yep. You don't, they don't even understand. And a lot of it's the parents' fault.
Yeah. It's like all of it's the parents' fault. We have to take responsibility 100%. It's like, oh, this darn kid has to be on a device all the time as we mm-hmm. begrudgingly hand it back. It's like, dude, that's on us. That's on me for doing that.
And then they go to school now. And I don't know. I don't think there's a ton of books anymore. They're learning to read and they're learning to read. Yes, I know there's packets because they send packets home. But I think my daughter, she does a lot of her classes on a laptop and she's 12.
Yeah.
You know, and so they're on a device there. They're on a device at home. They're on a device. And some people would argue, you know, that's the future, right? Everything's going that, you know, everything is in that direction. Like these kids have now grown up with digital devices. I mean, and they're saying that in certain countries, there is a population decrease because people are on device and choosing to have relationships online with people as opposed from going out, which is reducing the people getting together, which is reducing more people getting married, which is reducing people having children. And if they are having children, it's at a much later age, and therefore they're not having as many children, and therefore entire populations in certain countries are declining.
I can see it. Yeah.
That kind of stuff blows my mind, dude.
Oh, yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah. I just feel sad for like a normal childhood lost. Mm-hmm. You know, I love like my son will beg to go over to your house and see if you guys are outside. And I try so hard to say yes. As often as I possibly can, I say yes to that. Like,
yep.
I'll even be like, hey, let's go bug the Johnsons. Dude, we'll go to your house without being invited. And I know we can do this from experience. We'll go like either I'll ride my bike with my son or he'll ride his bike and I'll ride the golf cart depending on how I'm feeling physically. But I do try to ride my bike. We'll just go to your house uninvited. If you're outside, we'll just join in whatever everyone's playing. And if you're not outside, I'll be like, go knock on the door.
Yeah.
Because I know that's going to be welcomed. I know there's you'll be happy to have your kids, you know, get stirred up and want to get outside and play. And that's a fun mm-hmm. thing to have a friend knock on your door and want to play. That's a benefit of being in a small town that we live in. But like, I try so hard to facilitate that. But that also takes this is not me like tooting my own horn or frosting my own cookie. But the sentence I was going to say is it takes a parent that's willing to get off their ass to do that. Cause like,
fact.
Dude, do 100%. I feel, man, I'll be super honest with you, man. It's pretty often that I don't feel like getting up and getting on my bike and riding to someone's house to see what's going on. I always am glad that I did it after I did it. But for me, like just the tiredness that I already have and I mean, I'm already kind of settled in and maybe I'm already on my phone or, you know, whatever the hell I'm doing. But you know what? Like I owe it to my kids to get off my ass, even if I don't feel like it. Get on my bike and fucking ride over to a friend's house and knock on the door.
Yep.
And there'll be a time. I don't think my kid's old enough to do it yet. He's only 7, but there'll be a time when I do feel comfortable with him. Just, I'll be like, go ride your bike to your friend's house. I'm not there yet. I still feel like a responsibility to supervise, you know, to take him there. But yeah, it takes me getting off my ass. Which I think is also, I think, you know, as much as we talk about how electronics are spoiling the kids' experiences, they're also spoiling the adults. Mm-hmm. It's not good if I'm like into something on my phone and I could be playing with my kid or take him somewhere and I just don't feel like it. So I don't feel like moving. It's like, yeah, Kyle, maybe you've been sitting on your fat ass for 3 hours and that's a lot of inertia that you're going to have to overcome to get up and get on your bike and ride a half a mile to your son's friend's house to see if their family's outside playing.
100%.
You know? So that's the thing I have to like hold. I have to look at myself in the mirror there and be like, yeah, Kyle, get off your ass, man.
When I was drinking,
mm-hmm.
dude, I think I'm 100. I might be 130 days sober now.
Hell yeah, man. Good for you.
Something like that. No, I haven't had a drip of alcohol. And I will say this, that by me quitting has allowed me to not feel tired because, you know, you'll have one beer You have two beers and you'll be, then you get tired and you're like, I don't want to do that. And now I'm past that. Hey, I need a beer. Let's have a beer stage. Yeah. And I have this energy at night that I never used to have. You know, like 6 o'clock would hit, beer, tired.
Yeah.
Then I'm tired until bedtime. And now it's like, I don't have that trigger to get tired. And so I'm out doing stuff with my kids.
Yep.
Right. And, you know, and I don't know, dude, it's 100% the parents' responsibility do that. I didn't understand how much time I could have been with my kids and I wasn't. And even to this day, yesterday morning was a perfect example where I got on my phone to check the weather, the radar for the day, and I stayed there. I didn't leave the phone then. And my wife is like, hey, the kids are asking you a question. And I just wasn't even hearing it.
Right.
It was blocked out.
Right.
And so I have to do a better job at that too.
Oh yeah. You know, I was just reflecting on like my own inner child of there have been times where I've, like gotten like sick of being on my phone. Like, oh, I got to get off of this. And so I'll be like, all right, I should set this down. And then my inner child kicks in where I'll start to go like pick on my kids and mess with my wife and, you know, get them out of their stuff. And I think that's kind of fun when they'll be on their devices and I'm sick of mine and I'll just go. And again, I'll do something like play bear. I just grab them and we just start playing. Or dude, even I actually think it's, there's a difference between them being on their stuff by themselves versus sometimes I'll just go sit next to, say, my son and be like, what are you doing, man?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like playing a game. I'll be like, tell me about this game. Teach me. And then he'll start telling me all about it. And now, yeah, he's still on it, but it's something we're doing together at this point. Like he would play, he hasn't been all that interested in Fortnite lately, but he used to be way into Fortnite. And he could play Fortnite by himself, or I can sit next to him and be like, okay, what are you doing? Ooh, what do you need? Ooh, go check out that chest. Ooh, hey, there's somebody coming up on you. Ooh, whatever, you know, like whatever. And then we're like doing it together. Dude, that's even better.
Yeah.
And I've, another thing that I've noticed is from a parenting standpoint, if my kids are on their devices, let's say my son's playing Fortnite or whatever, and he's by himself and I let him do it for a while. And then I come up and say, all right, time to be done with that. Or even if I say 30-minute warning, 20-minute warning, 10-minute warning, 5-minute warning, 1-minute warning, you need to get off. It's really hard for them to get off. But I'll tell you what, it's honestly, it's way easier for them to get off if I was sitting there with them for the past 15 minutes. If I just watched him
do an
entire round of Fortnite and I'm like, oh yeah, get him. Oh, check that out. Oh, go over there. Oh, look out for that. Oh, that's a cool car. Oh, da 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 da. Dude, if I was sitting right there and basically cuddling with him, I'll put my arm around him. I'll like pull his little butt closer, you know, and we do that for 15 minutes or 20 or 30 minutes. And then, you know, he'll be doing it and he'll get like, I always wait for him to be like, have a really good game where he ends up in the top five or wins or something. I'll be like, all right, after this game, we're going to stop. And then it feels like we're stopping, not him. And then I can be like, oh, that was cool, man. Good job. You know, that was neat. And then he can move on so much easier if I was there with him than if I just left him alone to play. So that's a little air quotes pro tip that I've learned. Engage with them.
And here I am being hypercritical about that kind of stuff, right? But I can remember when I first got a Super Nintendo.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, or not a Super Nintendo, but like the regular Nintendo from, you know, back in the late 80s. Dude, I played for days at a time.
Oh, yeah.
Where like in the summertime, I would play Mario Brothers or RBI Baseball or Tecmo Football for 10 hours of a day. Have you ever played video games for so long? Can you remember that feeling of just being like you're exhausted playing this game, like mentally your hands are tired from hitting the buttons and you're like, I've hit a wall because I've played so many video games.
Right.
I can remember those days and playing that, especially in the wintertime when there was like a weekend and it was snowing and my dad would just be like, go play Nintendo. And we just played Nintendo all day long.
Yeah.
yeah. all day.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's pretty analogous to how things are now. You know, that's kind of always been around. Or like there's a lot of kids that were couch potatoes that just watched TV all day and their parents couldn't get them off the TV. That's pretty similar.
Yep.
Dude, I'll tell you what, though, the major freaking difference is that back in the day, there was like a cohesive storyline happening, or there was sort of curated show that wasn't like, there was no chance. If your kid was watching Saturday morning cartoons, or if you were watching Saturday morning cartoons when you were a little kid, there was no chance of some weird sexual video coming up.
Yes.
And your parents didn't know about it. But I'll tell you what, man, like my kids like to watch like reels, or, you know, if they're on like TikTok or stuff like that, which we try not to let them do that stuff too much. But dude, I always make sure I'm within earshot when they're on it, and I'll hear some weird shit. And I'll be 100%. Like, what is that? And my daughter will be like, I don't know. And I'm like, skip. And she skips. Like, dude, stuff comes up. Also, like, you know, when you sat down to watch a Saturday morning cartoon, you watched the whole fucking cartoon.
Yeah.
You saw the whole story play out. You didn't literally see 5 to 10 second random snips for 3 hours. And when your kid when you were playing Nintendo, dude, you were having to focus. You were having to plan. You were getting some hand-eye coordination. Very goal-oriented. Very, like, you had to, man, those games were set up that you had to, like, the levels got harder and harder, and you would often get to a point where you, like, you know, this level was easy. This level was easy. That one was hard. That one was harder. Fuck, I can't beat that one. You're like, oh, my God, I got to beat that. So you start over, and you've got some mental stick-to-itiveness, so you have to beat all those levels leaving up to, and you're like, I can't beat this freaking level. And then, you know, maybe you ask a friend, how do you do it? And then you keep going back to it, and then you beat it, and you're like, yes, yes, I did it. Dude, there's none of that when it comes to, like, just sitting and scrolling. So
have you noticed the games that they're playing now? There's no end.
Right.
There's no end to them. Like, there's levels, and you just are collecting a higher dollar amount or a higher, or the next best little piece that comes out, but there's no end to it.
Yeah, so, we used to beat games.
Yeah, beat games.
There's
yeah,
no
like
beating
dude,
a game anymore. No. I remember beating Mario and beating Super Mario World. That was so what a sense of accomplishment to beat it.
Yep. Yeah. And now the games, like, they're playing one called Grow Garden or something brain rot, like Italian brain rot. I don't even know, but it's a conveyor belt of things that come by. You pick it, or you go and buy it with the money that you make off the game. And then you grow this thing, but then you add stuff to it. Like, oh, you need the epic sprinkler in your garden. You need the majestic one in your garden and all these different things to make your plant grow bigger, but there's no end to it.
Yeah. Right.
You never start over.
Yeah.
Now you can sell things, but what that does is it just keeps kids coming back to it over and over and over and over again. And that's the goal. I mean, obviously that's the goal of the developer. The more time that they spend on a game, the more money they're going to make off, off it. And so I don't know, man, life is crazy. Yeah. Life is crazy.
Yeah. It's up to us to take responsibility to, I mean, obviously for ourselves, I can't.
Yep.
You know, I got to be careful about just being like, oh, man, I got to save my kids from this, because it starts with me. I have to save myself from it, too. Yeah. And I have to have enough accountability and personal responsibility to be like, Kyle, stay off it. Don't do that. Maybe delete some stuff, which I've done. There was a game that I got way into that just turned into like, oh, I'm just doing the same thing over and over. But now it's 20% harder, 25% harder, 30% harder, 35% harder. And it's like, but it's the same exact thing. They're just scaling it up. Endlessly. And I'm just like, I got to do this. Oh, I've got this thing. And my wife's like, can you get off that, please? And I'm like, hold on. I'm like almost at that next level. But the next level is exactly like the previous one. It just took a little longer to do the exact same thing.
Yep.
And I finally deleted it. And when I did, I was like, oh, wow, there's a whole world out here. Holy shit. Wow, look how green the grass is. Oh, I should probably mow that.
Yep, exactly.
You know, starts with us.
100%. 100%. Well, Kyle, great conversation. We'll chalk this up as a BS session today.
Absolutely.
I think it's relatable. I think the conversation that we had today was very relatable. It's relatable to today's environment for not only just happiness, trying to be happy, trying to be like, as a man, I truly do feel like it is on the man of the house to control the environment and emotional state in the house. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's harder or easier said than done in certain instances. Yeah. And then at the same time, you know, sometimes we may think we're happy, like insert device here. And it's just causing to more of the problems when the device is then removed.
Yeah. Can I ask you, and I know that you're trying to wrap up, and so you don't have to take
it's okay. It, like, we can go as long as we want, man.
You mentioned, like, as a man, you say that phrase, and you mentioned that a lot more than I do. Mm-hmm. And my question is, and it's definitely not because I don't, like, identify with being a man, because I definitely do, but my question is, like, how much was that a part of your upbringing? How much did you hear from men in your life, like, as a man or being a man means it? Like, how much were you explicitly talked to about manhood, or how much was life framed as manhood to you?
Because it was never,
like, basically not ever. So I'm just curious. I don't make any assumptions about what it was for you. I'm just curious what it was for you. Did your
That's a great question.
Or anybody say, like, yeah, as a man, you need the da-da-da-da. Because I didn't get any of that.
Yeah. Okay. Neither did I.
Yeah.
But I was shown it.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So my mom and my dad both had jobs when I was younger. And so my parents dropped me and my brother off at a farm all day long. And my grandma, this is where, like, I don't know how to say it other than the traditional roles of what a man, my grandparents were out doing chores. They were working the farm. They were fixing things. They were, you know, building things, planting crops, harvesting crops. Meanwhile, my grandmas were in doing the laundry, cleaning the house, cooking the meals, making sure we were taken care of, that type of stuff. Yeah. And then when we were done taken care of and my grandpa was out doing chores, we'd ride along with him in the tractor. And so I didn't really ever have a man say, a man should do this and a woman should do this.
Yeah.
I grew up and observed what that environment was like, mm-hmm. right? My dad was, I don't know if it was a workaholic per se, but he worked. And I mean, the dude worked. He worked a lot, a lot of hours. And it was the responsibility. It was so long ago when my mom and my dad got divorced that I don't even know what the roles were in their marriage. Yeah. But when my dad got remarried and got remarried to my stepmom at the time, she then had a traditional role in an old school role, laundry, cooking, meals, house is taken care of, laundry's done. And my dad was the provider financially through his job. And he worked a ton of hours doing that. And so when I say it's a man's job, I feel like when there is a problem that is not getting solved, then it should be the man's job to fix it. Now, if he, you know, and I'm not saying, like, I don't want this to sound like I'm shitting on women per se, because it's definitely not that, but men and women are different, right? I think when there is a problem, and the problem is we have a crack in our concrete, there is no emotional solution that can solve that problem.
Right.
Right. The kids are out of control right now. Well, there's no emotional solution necessarily that, because if you use emotions to solve logistic problems, it will never work. Right. There's a crack in the concrete. Well, we better fix it.
Yeah.
Right. We fix it. We fix the problem. Well, you know, I'm sad because I'm getting bullied at school. All right. Call the school. Hey, bullied, fixed, boom. You know, like, and I think there's times when it's okay, like, I don't know, like, there's times where emotions come into play, but then there's times where like, I'm done talking, I'm fixing the problem.
Yeah.
Right. And so if your house is out of control and the emotional side has failed, then it's time for you to step up as a man and fix the problem in the house. Right. And not delay.
Right.
But there's a problem. We got to fix it.
Right. Absolutely. So you're talking about, like being practical,
mm-hmm.
you know, being practical and rational and reasonable, mm-hmm. which I think anybody can be. I think, you know, obviously there's the tropes of women being more emotional and men being mm-hmm. more practical and fair. I think a lot of times it does play out that way. Also though, my view is like you're saying it's the man's job basically because you're a man and that's your perspective. Right. I think, and I bet you'll agree with this, that whoever has the most insight has the most responsibility. Mm-hmm. And that could be either parent, and that could be any adult. And so I think it's not necessarily the man's job to do X, Y, and Z. I think it's whoever has the most insight, whoever has the most capability, whoever has the most capacity, it mm-hmm. falls on them. And if that happens to be the man, then it falls on the man. I'm actually not against like men holding themselves to a high standard, saying like, it's a man's job to be better and better and better. And it's a man's job to take these things on. I mean, mm-hmm. I actually think that's good. I think it's good for anybody to think, yeah, I want to increase my capacity. Mm-hmm. And I would also say the same exact thing should be true of women, that, you know, women should be able to say, hey, I want to increase my capacity as much as I can. And I think there's a lot of guys out there like you that do take personal responsibility and accountability. And I also think there's not, and that makes me really sad. I think there's a lot of relationships where the mom is the rock and the dad is underdeveloped and mm-hmm. not, you know, doesn't take on that responsibility and doesn't have that accountability and doesn't have the insight that like he could be more a part of the solution than part of the problem.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that you, however you did it, you for some reason, and I have too, but you for some reason have taken on like, I have a sense of personal responsibility here. And I mm-hmm. just, I respect anyone that has that, man, woman, everyone, anybody that has a sense of like personal responsibility, there's something I can do here. I'm playing a part in this. What influence do I have? I fucking love that.
Yeah. And I'm not trying to take anything away from my wife at all. I'm definitely not. I feel like we run this household as a team.
Yeah.
Right. But there are times where when the household is off track, in order to keep the family moving forward.
Oh yeah.
That's when I step in.
Absolutely. I think what I was picking up on for me was that like, you say, as a man, I need to da 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 da, and that concept for me is like, okay, Kyle needs to da 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 da. So I don't like, I'm not seeing things through the mm-hmm. lens of being a man, and so I should X, Y, and Z. I see it as I need to be the best person I can be. So Kyle needs to do whatever he can in this situation. And then, you know, and then you could apply that to literally any person on the planet. My wife could think, oh, I should do anything I can in this situation. So any given person could say, I want to be the best person I can in this situation. I just find it interesting. I don't think it's negative at all to identify as a man and be like, okay, as a man, I need to do X, Y, and Z. I just have always found it interesting that I don't tend to like, that's not a primary lens for me. As a man, I need to da 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 da. I'm more like Kyle needs to, I'm just more individualistic about it, I guess.
Yeah. I get it 100%. I just, through my experience in life and any type of minimal research that I have done on the species of male, gender wise, and with levels, sex and testosterone and things like this. And you look at the world that has been created for us and how it has gotten to this point.
Yeah.
Men and women are built different emotionally, physically, and from a decision-making standpoint. I also believe there's some differences. This is just my personal opinion, and I don't want this to sound sexist, but I really do feel that there is a big difference between a man and a woman, and those lines have definitely been blurred through our culture.
Yeah.
Of you know, back in the day, it was always the man who went to work and the woman always stayed home and ran the household. And now that is not the case, because in order to survive in this world, men and women both have to work. And so that has disrupted this. A man's job is this and a man's job is this. That doesn't change the fact that we are still creatures, of evolution, or however you want to think, that a man, I truly believe, is designed to handle more stress in this world and carry the load more than a woman is. And I just, that's my opinion. I don't necessarily, like, if there is a time when there is a person struggling in the household and the woman comes in and she gives that emotional support to help lift that person up, sometimes that's the man too. But other times, it's the man's job to say, let's go, right? Yeah. When that doesn't work, let's go, right? We got to keep moving forward, because you can have an anchor or you can be the ship.
Yeah.
And the captain of the ship. And sometimes I just feel like in my household, I try to be that captain of the ship and get that boat traveling in the right direction. I don't know if that answered any questions at all.
No, it does. It sheds a lot of light on, like, the experience that you've lived that has brought you to the perspective that you have. Yep. Like, as you say, when you said all of that, in my mind, I go towards that could be either parent. Because grown up, I have a lot of experience of, like, the mom being the rock, and the mom, like, picking up a lot of slack, and the mom being, like, doing all of the disciplining, and you know, the mom putting out the fires. Like,
mom disciplined me. My mom was the disciplinarian in our house.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. I have a lot, and definitely not to shit on my dad. My dad was a really hard worker and everything, but I actually see my mom as the rock in my family. And I've always known this, that I think I've, for whatever reason, it just has played out this way, but, you know, in my life and in my career, I've just been exposed to a lot of really strong women that are, you know, going into, like, the human services field that I've been in. It's predominantly women. There's barely any men in it. And, I don't know, like, all of those things that you say, I'm like, yeah, that could be the woman too. You know, it doesn't have to be the man. I think, again, I don't think there's anything wrong at all with saying, like, as a man, I want to hold myself to these high standards. I think that's awesome. I'm all for anybody holding themselves to high standards in a positive, healthy way.
Yep.
I just don't have as much connection with, like, the woman needing more support, because in my experience, like, it tends to be the woman that holds things together. I've personally seen a lot of that. I've personally seen a lot of, like, the woman being the one with the insight, the woman having to be the steady rock, the woman having to run the household, the woman having to break up fights and get kids off of electronics and do all the punishing and teaching of the life lessons. I've seen a lot of that.
Yeah.
And maybe, maybe that's because my dad just didn't do a ton of that, because he was, you know, working so much and so focused on his own stuff. And I also think my dad didn't know how. I don't think my dad knew how to parent, because I think his dad didn't have a whole lot to do with him. I mean, he was there, he was around forever, but their relationship was really was interesting. I mean, my dad worked, my grandparents lived on the farm next to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so my dad, like, you know, even into his 60s would still go down there every day, and his mom would make him lunch, and he would work in my grandpa's shop, and, you know, into his 60s. And so I don't know. I just, everything that you say as a man, fill in the blank. My perspective is, yes, for sure. And also, that could be the man or the woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that, and that's, so that's not at all putting down your perspective. I'm just more like just adding my additional perspective to it. That could be whoever has the most insight has the most responsibility. Cause I think there's a lot of, women out there that actually do have a, you know, display a lot of the traits that you're talking about that you identify with as a man of like, I've got to turn things around. I've got to like be the rock. I've got to be the heavy hammer. I've got to like run the show. I think that's actually a pretty common dynamic. I think there's a, you're lucky if you have a strong male in the household. I think I don't know that I would say that this is too much of an overstatement. I was going to say, I don't know that the average male in the household is a strong figure, but I actually know a lot of like awesome husbands. I know a lot of awesome guys that are involved, but I think when I think of previous generations, I think more of like the dad and the lazy boy attached because he put in his work and now he's detached from everything else. And the mom fucking also working.
Yeah.
And having to do absolutely everything else. So I think that, I think I have a lot of exposure to that. Like, you know, the dad being kind of a lump on the log and the woman doing like, you know, also working full time, but then doing everything regarding raising the kids and teaching life lessons. So I think any family is super fucking lucky to have even one healthy parent, whether it be the father or the mother, and like just exceptionally blessed if you have two parents that are involved and give a shit and are trying, like that's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say this, like, let me ask you a crazy question. If you could, and you made more money, because I think financially is what holds a lot of people back. I'll tell you what I would love. I would love if I made enough money to where we could keep our same lifestyle and my wife would not have to work and she would be that traditional stay-at-home wife. If you asked my wife if that would be the role that she wanted, without hesitation, I could say she would say yes.
Mine too.
Yeah.
My wife's a super hard worker too.
Yeah.
I mean, my wife's badass.
Same.
But I know in a heartbeat, she would so much prefer to not work and stay home, take care of the house, take care of the kids, take care of all that. In a heartbeat, she would.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, she might have to find other stuff to like, you know, she might get a little bit bored too. So she wouldn't be a lump on the log, but yeah.
Well, as we all know, which would allow me to work more hours, right? If there was this traditional role in the house where, you know, I'm up here in my office crushing it, then I don't have to take time to go do any of the housework that I'm not begrudgedly doing housework. I know it's part of my role right now. And so I do it, right? Mow the yard and, you know, I also do a lot of coaching and things like that. And so knowing then that is on her now, that's her responsibility. And she would approve if she agrees that that's her responsibility, then I'm up here making more money and putting more time into the business and all of this stuff.
Absolutely.
And so, yes, I think a lot of women would want that
too.
Life.
I think, just my experience and the people that I know, I think most, there are definitely.
And I think that's a Midwestern thing.
I'm
guessing that's a Midwestern thing.
I wonder.
I'm guessing the majority is a Midwestern thing. I think once you get into more liberal cities and that definition of man and women's responsibilities in a marriage is even further blurred.
Yeah.
And then like it's more of this equal partnership where I still think it's equal, but I still think a man is a man and a woman is a woman. And there's still tradition that cling to those labels and culture and as opposed to, let's say a New York City or Chicago, downtown Chicago or a bigger, more liberalized upbringing. And I don't mean that politically.
Yeah.
Culturally, then you start to see those that yeah, more progressive. You see that, you see everything get blurred even further, right? Uh-huh. And so it's now, I'm a man, I'm a woman, we both do the laundry, we both do this and we both do that. I think it's even that that traditional line is blurred even further once you get into that. So
yeah.
And there, and this is something like I'm still trying to figure out, right? Because yeah. I am from the environment of this is a woman's job and this is a man's job.
Yeah.
You do those things in a culture where the my wife is working. So now it is my responsibility to put 50% of the housework in.
Yeah.
And 50% right. of the child raising and 50% of the cooking and dishes and all that stuff.
Oh yeah.
Like that's yeah.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I think I really like the concept of a relationship being equal, whatever equal looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So like if I work an 8-hour day and she works a 4-hour day but puts in a number of hours of housework, that's equal.
Yep.
You know, but if I work a 8-hour day and she works a 4-hour day and then she watches TV for 4 hours, and then I get home and she's like, all right, well, the dishes need to be done and the laundry needs to be done, so time to share the load. Well, then it's like, whoa, when's my 4 hours of watching TV?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it yeah. just needs to be equal, whatever equal looks like. So like, I actually, you know, I know a lot of stay at home moms that they do a lot of work during the day.
Mm-hmm.
They get a lot of shit done and there's a lot to show for it. It's like their yeah. house is really nice and they're, you know, meals are planned and it's like, that's their contribution. You know, if I work for 8 hours, 10 hours, that's my contribution. What's your equal contribution? And mm-hmm. I don't care what it is, but it should be something.
Yeah.
That we decide together is equal.
Yeah.
100%. You know, because I'm also not a fan of like, you know, a guy that comes home and just does absolutely nothing because he put in 8 hours and his wife was also at work for 8 hours. But now she gets to do the dishes and the laundry and the cleaning and the mm-hmm. getting, you know, bedtime routines and that. Like, that's not equal either.
Yeah.
So what yep. I think equal, whatever equal looks like, I'm a big fan of.
That's a fact. That's a fact. Cool. Well, my friend, great conversation today.
Yeah. That's
this fun. Is the second, this is the second time we're going to try to end this
yeah, okay.
podcast today.
Midwestern goodbye.
Midwestern goodbye. Right. But, Kyle, appreciate your time. If you guys who are listening to this could do us a huge favor, go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you download the Man Therapy podcast, give it a 5-star review, leave your comments there. If you have any questions about this, go find the Man Therapy Instagram page. Our logo on the podcast matches the logo on Instagram. And if you have any questions or want a specific topic covered in this podcast, do us a favor and reach out to us and we'll be happy to help. So good vibes, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th, U.S. only. See store online for details.
Your little one grew 3 inches overnight. Adorable. Also, expensive. Sell their pint-sized pieces on Depop and list them in minutes with no selling fees. Because somewhere, a dad refuses to pay full price for the clothes his kids will outgrow tomorrow. And he's ready to buy your son's entire wardrobe right now. Consider your future growth spurt budget secured. Start selling on Depop, where taste recognizes taste. Payment processing fees and boosting fees still apply. See website for details.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network. And this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.